We're very happy to have Brother Larry with us, and we certainly appreciate his faithfulness throughout all of the years. And we're going to be in for, if I could say, like part two about dealing with depression. So he has chosen as his subject with dealing with depression. Brother Larry.
Good morning, brethren. Certainly a pleasure to see all your smiling faces out there. And it's one of the few chances you get to actually see everybody all at once, so it's kind of nice. And we certainly have appreciated the loving efforts of the Chicago Brethren in providing this convention with the Lord's strength and guidance. And even though it may be a little chilly this morning, we're going to try to warm you up because we brought some background shots of Florida and some of the shores of that. That'll be the theme, so maybe the temperature will rise a couple degrees, and that'll be our kind of our theme behind our message. We bring you the warm Christian love and greetings of your brethren from Clearwater, Florida, as we did yesterday, and it's such a joy to be with you. I have to make a special note to thank the Chicago Brethren from the depths of my heart for all the many years of laboring in the harvest work and the many publications that they have done, reproducing the reprints and many other books, especially for me, the comments was extremely helpful, those who worked on that, and just so many labors of love on behalf of the Lord's people, glorifying God's name in the process and helping in the witness work that we still have privilege to enjoy in. We want to take note of the Lord's arrangement of this convention and the discourses that have been given. Actually, you know, none of the speakers, I don't think, talked to each other about what they were going to be speaking about. We just let the Lord direct the issue. And so it's interesting because this same time yesterday, Brother Dave Christensen was giving a talk that dealt with depression. Only it was about King Saul. So this is going to be kind of a part two of that. Not so much on King Saul, but you'll see how it dovetails in and out of Brother David Christensen's thoughts. And we pray with the Lord's help and strength that it might be of some strength to you, particularly those who struggle with depression at times along different lines. Sometimes what you know and what you feel sometimes can be two different things. So with that in mind, we'll begin by, again, stating our title, Dealing with Depression. When the Apostle Peter was struggling with the guilt he felt in denying the Lord three times during those Gethsemane experiences, he must have been devastated to realize the weakness of his flesh. No doubt, his thoughts, following the cock crowing, were depressing and vexed his soul for some time. Yet Peter was called the rock. The power of the blood of Christ Jesus and the energy of the message of God's forgiveness, when stricken with godly sorrow, helped Peter to suppress the negative reaffirmations of his unworthiness in the school of Christ. The waves may have roared in Peter's consecrated life, but by the power of the justifying merit of Christ Jesus, Peter sailed on to victory and transported many others with him. Other characters, like Job in the Bible, were discouraged in their trials because they could not see the reasons for such overwhelming difficulties in their lives. After all, Job was a good person. Yet Job had patience to wait on the Lord, and he endured the pain and saw that the end or outcome of the Lord's blessings, that the Lord was full of compassion and of tender mercy. So let us turn for our first scripture today to James 5:11. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Have we all come to that same conclusion? Depression is a common and serious illness that touches the lives of many people today. I believe more so than at any other time of history. It doesn't take long to see a commercial on TV about Cymbalta or another medication to help relieve some of the depression symptoms for the thousands who suffer from this illness. Today we would like to touch briefly on our own experience with depression, even if it be a humbling confession of vulnerability for an elder of the faith. If it helps just one Christian, it'll be worth the sacrifice. First of all, let me acknowledge some dear brothers who contributed to my thinking for some recently published articles that have been given. Dear Brother Tom Gilbert, Tom Ruggiero, Brother David Christensen, and the late Brother Carl Hagensack, who was so precious to us. Dear Brother Richard Evans and Brother Aaron Keymichael, they all helped in this discourse. And of course, Brother Russell, and most importantly, the Holy Scriptures. Let me state that, again, like Brother Dave did, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, only an educator that is trained how to read and how to teach, nothing more. Depression drains your energy. It drains your hope and your drive in life. It makes it difficult to do even the most simple tasks of life. Your get up and go just got up and went. As we reflect on our walk as a Christian, we would like to see ourselves as rejoicing with a positive attitude about life. We believe the promises of God and the beautiful plan of salvation should transport us into a continual state of joy and of happiness in the Spirit. If you are feeling depressed over circumstances or experiences of life, you should feel ashamed of yourself. Perhaps you are even chastened by some brethren because you are living below your appreciations as a new creature in Jesus Christ. Perhaps the Lord is upset with you. Or worse, perhaps the Lord isn't even dealing with you anymore. Now you are even more depressed. Maybe you lost your job. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. And it's been months and months since you received a paycheck. Your funds are running low. You've been praying almost hourly over the situation. But nothing seems to be happening. Doesn't the Lord hear your cries for help? Maybe he's turning his face away from you. What do you do? The adversary is quick to note the opportunity and make suggestions to discourage you even more. He's good at that. In fact, discouragement is one of his best tools. His objective is to either destroy you spiritually or physically. Perhaps he even makes suggestions to you of suicide. He tells you, what's the difference? The Lord isn't dealing with you anymore anyways. Maybe everybody would be better off without you. Has it happened to Christians in the Bible student movement? I know of two personally. Brethren, we are living in a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The global economy is on the rocks, with the seas and the waves roaring, foreboding a global disaster. Families are breaking up in epidemic proportions. The stress of making ends meet, keeping jobs, longer work hours, conflicts in marriage relationships, and the demands of and on children today are pressing down hard on the minds and emotions of the brethren, as well as the world in general. Should we, as new creatures in Christ, be exempt? You're familiar with the scripture. Let's take a look at it together in 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It won't be up there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with a temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes we have to look diligently for that way of escape. Isn't that all part of our sin offering experience? To fill up the afflictions left behind of Christ for the body's sake? Somebody who has lived through this tumultuous time has got to be able to relate to mankind's experiences, their challenges, who have experienced similar challenges in life. Or does the Lord shield us from all these experiences of man? I don't think so. That's not what we're all about. Sensitivity training is a huge part of our training in the school of Christ. We can only help mankind someday if we've been touched with a feeling of their infirmities. To truly experience and to truly understand, like our dear brother Edmund Jesuit used to say, let us never put a question mark where the Lord has placed a period. I like that. But someone might ask, Brother Larry, how can you relate to teach us something about depression when you have never experienced it yourself? Elders or speakers never go through these experiences themselves, do they? I can tell you of a certainty, this one has. And I know of others who have as well. So if you think that you're alone, you're not. Perhaps a number of us struggle with speaking about it because we don't want to disappoint anybody or because it makes us vulnerable to criticism and remarks from brethren who become judgmental and make perhaps defamatory remarks about us. It's a whole lot easier to discuss other topics than to humble yourself in a testimonial of your weaker moments in life. However, as it states in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My own small experience with depression is nothing compared to what others go through. I believe I started after I got discouraged teaching 8th grade students and retired, and I started a small business in June of 2007. You remember, by the end of that year, we were in an economic recession, and President Obama made the statement before his inauguration that the economy was going to get worse before it got better. Not a good time to start a business. But we had already started it. We had put some money into our business and started to see sales slide down in 2008. We had a retirement check coming in each month, but it didn't go very far. Not what they give teachers, anyways. My wife was having issues with a seasonal affective disorder in our area of the country, which was the main reason we needed to relocate to the sunny south. It's called SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It had been building for years and warranted serious considerations for moving. This meant that we had to sell our house, find a home in Florida, sell my mother's house, and find her a home in Florida so we could take care of her since my sister lived in Canada. I picked up a teaching job at a local college and worked as a contributing science writer for a publishing company out east, which helped a little bit on the financial part, not much, but a little. We found a place down in Clearwater where we moved Debbie in January of 2009, and I stayed back to teach and sell our home in Indiana. We had some bare-bones health insurance from college, but it was virtually nothing to hang our health on, so to speak. I had health insurance for 35 years with a school corporation, and when you retired, you only had to pay $1,500 a month to continue it. $1,500 a month. It was a lot of money to us. So we just tried to stay healthy, like 150,000 other families in this country do. I lived with some untreated skin issues and some other things, but it wasn't something serious. Things weren't this pretty. These months in January through May were cold and lonely when Debbie was down in Florida and I was back in Indiana. One of our sons was going through a tough bout with depression also and was speaking of suicide. That was emotionally depressing also. For the next 4 months, we were placing application after application for a worthwhile job in Florida. But unemployment near Tampa had reached 11%. When we moved, we were signed up to teach several online college classes on composition. But by June, they were canceled due to lack of enrollment. Nothing seemed to be working. No job, limited funds, virtually no health insurance, and our home up north hadn't sold yet. There were some even more personal issues that we won't go into, but Our faith was being stretched to the limit, but our anchor was within the veil. We kept trying to recall the scriptural promises and reflect on discourses we had heard and given over the years ourselves, especially about trials. Our mind and understanding was in one place, and our underlying emotions or in another. Sometimes what you know and sometimes what you feel are two different things. Concern kept slipping towards anxiety, and our new creature was swimming up against an undercurrent of fear and what-ifs. If you have never experienced anything but a padded bank account with securities reinforcing a seemingly snug faith, it would be hard for you to relate to this. And there's others who have had it much harder, as I said. It's easy to have faith when all of your needs are supplied. You have plenty of money in the bank or investments, a good paying job or jobs, good health insurance and good health, and your ship is steady from riding on a calm sea. But even the Apostle Peter was surprised how he reacted when the winds and the waves of the sea threatened his security. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Has anyone here ever listened to Brother Seclemian's discourse, Lilies of the Field? Anybody? If you haven't, you've missed a real blessing. I must have listened to that discourse 10 times. During the 2008-2009 period. It's a classic discourse for the hungering Christian. I realize many brethren have had it, again, a whole lot worse than we have, but this was our experience, and it was hard for us. For your encouragement, and to show that the Lord is compassionate and holds us in the hollow of His hand, we found a teaching position right down the street from us by August of this past year. We then had health insurance and were making close to what we had the last year we taught school. Someone liked our house up north and was willing to make house payments just to hang on to the house for them, and that's still happening. We sang the song, and maybe you've sung it many times, because singing helps. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now let's look at some symptoms of depression. Here are examples of what some might experience. We didn't experience all of these, but we did several of these. Number one, a downcast frame of mind is where someone feels pretty negative about everything. They feel defeated in life, dejected, sad, and discouraged. One could have, number two, a feeling of hopelessness. Nothing is going to get any better. Number three, a depressed person can often feel worthless. They focus on all of their negatives and don't see anything good about themselves. Number four, oftentimes a depressed person withdraws from interaction from others, many times even those close to them, as in friends and relatives. Number five, sometimes a person is depressed over feelings of guilt from past sins and their shortcomings. It comes to the point that they feel unworthy of God's love and perhaps anyone else's. Number six, brethren who become depressed are often missed at the study meetings for weeks and weeks or even months and months. Added to that, they never find their way to conventions anymore, even when they are close by. Weight gain is often a symptom because, from what I understand, the stress from depression activates the hormone cortisol, which makes keeping your weight down very difficult. Then this person is even more discouraged because they feel they are overweight, and this drags them down even more. In my case, I found that my eyes teared up easily over many things. Number eight. Here are some symptoms, and symptoms are very close to effects. One deals more so with consequential results from a general cause, whereas the other is the same but relating to the body. Some might say that effects and symptoms are nearly the same thing. The following is a result of being in a depressed state by a human being. A depressed person may feel stripped of any joy or satisfaction in life. Two, fear of what lies ahead saps a person's energy and sometimes even leads to mental paralysis if the fear is allowed to germinate. Three, you can physically and mentally withdraw from most all human relationships, sometimes even your spouse. Four, a depressed person often wants to die. Death would be a welcome change from their present state of mind or body, if the Lord would only will it. But most Christians know that suicide is out of the question, since it would be a default in your consecration vows to not leave your life in God's hands, but to take your life into your own hands. Remember the wave offering in Leviticus 8, verse 28? Moses had to take the offering down off of the underpriest's hands. They themselves could not take it down. It was Moses representing God who had to take that sacrifice down. Some brethren have restless nights and often complete insomnia. Their tiredness only leads them through the next day with greater depression coming from physical fatigue that impedes normal functioning. Some advanced stages of depression might lead to melancholy, where gloomy thoughts and fears are sometimes accompanied by vivid delusions. Remember from the great discourse Brother Dave gave on King Saul. King Saul had melancholy because of some of his delusional thoughts about David and other pressing issues in his kingdom. And you might like to look at some reprints on that. Reprint 5663, reprint 5663, and reprint 4218. Reprint 4218. And in the worst case scenario, a depressed person may eventually if no help is given or sought, make a very poor choice in suicide. Now let's consider some many causes which can lead a person into depression. Some symptoms could be causal factors in themselves. A cause could lead to an effect, where the effect becomes a cause itself to still another effect. For example, a mistake could be a cause of guilt, and guilt could then become a cause for melancholy. Some people harbor guilt feelings, triggering depression over poor choices in their lives. The blood of Christ's merit is promised to erase those sins, although the partially willful part will have to be expiated by chastening experiences. Christ's merit only covers unintentional Adamic sins. Let me repeat that. Christ's merit only covers unintentional Adamic sins. 1 John 1:9, and I'd all like you to turn to your Bibles and read this. In fact, I guess the teacher's coming out of me. I'd like you to memorize it, okay? For your own good. 1 John 1:9, and as a shield against the adversary. And most of you do know this by heart probably already. Because sometimes you're going to have to repeat it when the adversary comes to you and discourages you with yourself. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is able, He is faithful rather, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? It's in God's Word. Claim it. It's yours. We all struggle with cognitive dissonance, that, as was well defined yesterday, where what we know or believe to be right is not always what we do. However, we cannot, as consecrated, practice intentional sinning, or we will lose all life forever. But God is the judge. Hebrews 10:26, Hebrews 6:4-6, and 1 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Yea, I judge not my own self." Another cause for depression is related to financial stresses or a job loss, as we mentioned before. Perhaps you cannot find a job. Money problems are one of the largest issues in marriage, and the whole world is growing depressed more and more by financial woes. If you are attentive, you can almost feel the world shaking. Hebrews 12:26-27. Some people, including brethren, might fall into a state of depression over some of the many diseases or health issues that face the human family. It's pretty hard to stay upbeat when you are not feeling well and are handicapped in some way. Again, dear brother Carl Hagensen gave us quite an example, didn't he, in rejoicing and happiness, even under some of the greatest physical trials. When we experience the death of someone we love and feel the vacuum of their absence, their companionship and friendship, we may also find ourselves fighting with depression. How wonderful it is to know of God's resurrection morning. However, even then the vacuum can still suck you into a state of depression in some cases. Close friends need to really be alert and helpful to this possibility. One dear sister I know felt her house was a morgue after her husband's death. She wanted to crawl right into the grave with him, is what she said to me. Number five, then there are some relationships, parents, spouses, or children, that are very challenging. One may fall into depression over a spouse who is unsupportive, perhaps physically and emotionally. Some brethren have even been abused, and their armor has had many emotional dents and dust from the battles of life. Some solve the pain by polishing their armor with prayers. Lots and lots and lots of prayers, like our manna text was today. Pray without ceasing. 1 Peter 3:12 also. Maybe you have at some time been discouraged or depressed over unkind people in your everyday workplace, or perhaps even in your ecclesia. Hopefully not, but it happens. 2 Corinthians 12:20 and 21. 3 John verses 9 and 10. You know, sometimes depression can be caused by unbalanced chemicals in the brain. There are many researchers that believe that an imbalance in the serotonin levels may influence mood in a way that leads to depression. In some women, depression may be caused by low hormone levels, most commonly progesterone. Progesterone levels drop in times of stress, like holidays, like we just went through Christmas. I understand when progesterone levels drop, so does the serotonin level drop, which can cause depression. And husbands need to be especially aware of that. Brethren are not exempt from the Adamic fall, as you know. So there are brethren who have various degrees of SAD disorder, as I have mentioned about my dear Debbie, who suffers from this. Special lighting can sometimes be used to help replace the need for sunlight. One can sometimes be helped by exercise and medication as well. However, in more extreme cases, they actually need to have a sunnier climate to function normally. And there are many more causes that can trigger depression, as you can see here, especially tragic events like car accidents or clinical depression in family members like a husband or a wife or an aging parent that demands a lot of attention, especially if they complain a lot or frequently treat you unfairly. We're going to move ahead to number 11 and more quickly through these. Number 11, unsound thinking patterns need to be striven against as seed thoughts planted by the adversary. They need to be replaced. You need to get rid of those unsound thinking patterns, because it's true, as a man thinketh. 12. A challenged marriage bereft with conflicts can cause depression in some cases. Unresolved conflicts can lead to a downward spiraling pattern of thoughts, and that can cause depression. Some dear brethren might be suffering from psychological or physiological issues, like was mentioned yesterday, bipolar or issues some brethren haven't even heard of. Have you ever heard of Asperger's syndrome? Probably a few have, but probably many, a majority, have not. Brethren suffer from these things sometimes, and we don't even understand the way they react sometimes to things that we do. And we may think it's strange, and they may be fighting this. And they maybe have been fighting it from youth. And we maybe even make some comments that are unkind, which should not be. We don't understand, because God has called us from all walks of life, and He has a need for each one of us for His own reasons. These and more can all be causal factors that can lead to depression. Brethren, the Melchizedek priesthood needs you wherever the Lord has called you from. Another causal factor is to have unrealistic expectations of ourselves. Certain brethren might be perfectionists, and since nobody is perfect, it can bring much anxiety or even depression from those who demand perfection from themselves. Remember, only Jesus maintained a state of perfection. There was only one. Number 15, some dear brethren have experienced abuse, even being molested, or worse, even rape from their childhood, or adolescent years. I've known some. These experiences can haunt them for years until they let go and let God carry their experience for a higher purpose in the kingdom. And as I mentioned in my own life, part of my experience with depression was trying to help a family member who was depressed for many years and who had thoughts of suicide throughout those many years, speaking of one of my sons. Parents often wonder, where did I go wrong? Then again, even God had a son who just made some bad choices, didn't he? Did you ever think about it that way? Satan. Why did Satan go wrong? Was he God's son? Early on. Was it because of genetics? No. Was it because of environment? No. It was only one thing. Choice. He had a perfect environment, a perfect father. Everything was perfect. So why would he go wrong? He made bad choices of thought, which led to bad actions. And that's why he went wrong. Guilt and depressing thoughts are still a struggle. Parents can sometimes take credit, or even pride, for the good genetics that they passed on to their children. Often parents also take guilt for genetic predispositions their children actually inherited from the Adamic fall. It's a matter of environment, genetics, and choice. Those three things. Now, suggestions to recovery. Now, with our time remaining, let's take a look at some suggestions to help recovery with depression. The key is to start with a few small goals and then build upon those as you climb back up to recovery. We pray some of these suggestions may be helpful to those in need. Pretend you have a transparent glass filled with dark, cloudy water. If you poured some clear Karo syrup into that glass, what would happen? You are correct if you said that the clear Karo syrup would displace the cloudy water. So too, we need to get rid of cloudy, discouraging thoughts that keep swirling around in our minds by replacing them with the sweet, clear affirmations of scriptures. For example, every time you have a discouraging thought in your situation, you must try to replace that thought immediately with things like, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." Even affirmations like, and this perhaps could be more so for the elderly, when they're physically falling apart, they could say to themselves, "I can do it. I'm all right. Everything is getting better," can be a good thing to repeat at times. When you keep getting recurrent thoughts of past mistakes that weigh heavy on your back, let them bring you to your knees in prayer by seeking the scriptural forgiveness that's promised you, and forgive yourself as well. God promises forgiveness to a broken and contrite heart. Psalms 34:18, chapter 51:17, and Psalms 86:5. When you are struggling to fight discouragement, seek assistance from someone you trust to help you sort things out, like a close family member, a close Christian friend, or an elder who you know and highly respect. And as we mentioned before, the Lord listens for your prayers. He looks to see how often you come to Him and how much you need Him in your life, especially in your times of weakness or sorrow. He wishes to see in us a full submission to His will, faith and trust or confidence in His precious promises. Are you coming to Him in earnestness and in all humility for His promised grace to help in every time of need? Lord, teach us to pray. And as I mentioned, or might have mentioned, I was fighting depression. I listened to a lot of tapes on faith and trials, and of course, Brother Seclemium was a considerable source of strength to me. Also, many comments from Brother Russell gave me encouragement, like the manna from August 5th was especially helpful. The next suggestion you might not agree with, but the scriptures even appear to support the idea that good music has a natural tendency to compose and exhilarate the mind when disturbed and saddened. Remember how Saul's melancholy was temporarily satiated by the harp playing of David? You can read about this, and I think it was commented on yesterday in 1 Samuel 16:23, where it says that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the discouraging thoughts departed from him when David played harp music. Singing might have accompanied it. Singing hymns helps, and so does good music, even though they're a temporary fix. Some do not like to concede this, but in really serious cases of clinical depression, professional help that is carefully selected might be a good choice. My opinion is that it is not a wise idea to wait too long for professional help if someone is right on the edge with clinical depression. Now, number 8 I don't think is on here. Yeah, here it is. Getting involved in religious activity gives a person personal satisfaction with their relationship with God and service to others. For service is love made visible. It helps you to feel good about yourself that you are a good brother or sister who looks for opportunities to help others. You don't do it for praise, but often the gratitude in others makes you feel good about yourself. So, get involved in religious activities. We've discussed numbers 9 and 10 somewhat already, so we're going to go on to number 11. Regular exercise. Did you know that even a 10-minute walk can improve your mood for 2 hours? Find exercises that are rhythmic and continuous, like walking and swimming or stationary biking. Endorphins are released in the blood from walking or running or swimming or other such activities. Endorphins are hormones that give you a feeling of exhilaration and a positive mood. They have tranquilizing and pain-killing capabilities as well. But be careful not to overdo it, because more is not always better. Sometimes your mood could actually drop if you push too hard. If you feel you are slumping into a bad case of depression, you might ask a loved one to check on you regularly, just to keep you on track and encouraged. Sometimes making calls to dear friends or emailing them can boost your mood and rekindle some friendships. It seemed when I was going through my depression and moved to Florida, there were very few people who would seek me out to email or inquire of me. But then again, how many brethren did I try to contact? And that's the point. People are busy with their lives and often don't realize what you're going through. Sometimes you have to make the first step in contacting them and refreshing their friendships. And, this would be point 14, if you find yourself in a tough state of depression, again, you may just wish to confide in a respected elder whose judgment you can trust. Personally, I'm much better now. The path to recovery takes time. But you can get there if you start off slowly by making positive choices every day, by drawing support from others, and especially by seeking out your Heavenly Father in prayer, as well as your Heavenly Bridegroom, Christ Jesus. Bottom line is this, brethren. We're a people for a purpose. We are a means to an end. And the church class are the means by which their personal experiences will empower the body of Christ to be the great physician that will, as the Abrahamic seed, bless all the families of the earth. Your trials are not something you go through, but something you go through, you grow through. G-R-O-W. Before we close, we'd like to reflect on some of God's precious promises. One of my favorite that we sign a lot of times for things like you have here over in the side for isolated and, you know, brethren who are, you know, ill or so or such. Isaiah 26:3. So let's just take a few moments to reflect on these before we close. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And each one of these can be a positive reaffirmation. Maybe you want to make cards of these and reflect on them over and over again, maybe at certain times of your life especially. Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Hebrews 13:5-6, I know is a favorite for many of you. I know it is for my wife Debbie and her father, dear brother Art Ledwinka. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that he may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You may want to think about that if you're going into surgery. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Psalms 56:8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And of course, one of our favorites, all of us probably, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Again, trials are not something you go through, brethren, but rather something that you grow through. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Make good choices as to what you think about. Replace the negative thoughts with positive thoughts and think on these things. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, in closing, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory.